Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started.
Hey, Scott.
Well, hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good.
We're good. This is
not together.
Yeah, this is the first time that we've done this sort of remotely, almost like we're back in COVID days, which doesn't make me happy, I guess. But
no,
we'll pretend it's not that.
That's not why we're doing it this way. We're actually preparing for an interview, a long distance interview that we're going to do next. So
that'll be cool.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll be interviewing Pastor William Hughes for the next episode, and so we're making sure this works, testing out the technology here.
Okay. So, well, what do you want to talk about in order to get it to work?
Yeah, in preparation for that, I've just been thinking about how grateful I was to hear the gospel preached the first time, and it just got me thinking about how important preaching is in the Bible. In my experience, I hadn't ever heard preaching in my life. I went to church twice a week from the time I was born, and for 45 years never heard preaching. So it's a strange thing to even say, but it's the truth. And I'll just never forget the first time I heard the Word of God preached. You do it every week, so this probably sounds really strange to you, but
was he the first one you ever heard?
He was the first one I ever heard.
So we're going to talk next week. We're going to talk to the guy who was the first preacher you ever heard.
Yes,
that's pretty cool.
That I had heard preach the gospel. I guess technically I had heard a recording from the 1950s that was just terrible quality. Sound quality was terrible, and it was really hard to make anything out on. But this was the first person I'd ever heard preach the gospel. So it'd be great to talk to him, but this week I did want to just talk to you about, and to the listeners, about how important preaching is and what the Bible has to say about it, and
hopefully I get
people to want to hear it.
Yeah, you said I do it every week, and so I imagine that probably the most fair thing to say is that I take it for granted.
Mm, yeah.
And so why was it so special to you?
Well, so I was, I think I've told in my story that I got to a point where I had come to realize that everything that I knew to be true was now wrong. I just knew that I needed to know the truth, and I didn't know how to learn the truth. I tried to read the Bible. I still didn't really understand what I was reading, but I was too scared to listen to anybody that I didn't know, because I'd been told my whole life that they're just trying to deceive you, and they're false prophets. And I finally read a passage in Scripture in Acts 8 where Philip is sent, and he comes across the Ethiopian eunuch who is traveling, and he sees him, and it's in Acts 8, starting in verse 27, and it's talking about Philip, and it says, "And he rose and went, And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And so that was the green light for me. When I read that, that the Ethiopian was reading his Bible but didn't understand what he was reading and said, "How can I understand this unless some man, unless someone guides me?" That was what the Lord used to tell me it's okay to listen to a preacher.
So you were essentially looking for someone to guide you.
Yeah.
Into God's word. Okay.
Yeah. Into the truth. Yeah. And
well, I mean that essentially sitting in a chariot, you know, having a one-on-one conversation is quite a bit different guiding than, although I guess if you're listening to it like you did, with earphones in or something, it probably is a lot like one-on-one guidance, I imagine.
It certainly felt like it. I can still tell you, I was sitting on my riding lawnmower, mowing my lawn, and earphones in, and went ahead and listened to someone teach me what the Bible said. And it definitely felt like one-on-one guidance. So, it had a big impact. I hope you don't take it for granted, even though you do it every week, because it's powerful and it's important.
Well, even in that same story, it says, the eunuch had some questions after they read the scripture from Isaiah, like a sheep is led to slaughter, like a lamb before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth, and his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation, for his life was taken away from the earth? And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I asked, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" So he had a question. So there was question and answer, probably as part of this preaching, I imagine. Yeah. And then it says, Philip opened his mouth, beginning with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. And you know, I like that verse, actually, for two reasons. One is that it starts with that scripture. So he picked one particular scripture, and happened to be the one the guy's reading, of course. And so, my thoughts about preaching, I mean, there are a lot of people say a lot of things about the Bible, but rather than cobble a bunch of stuff together and make up kind of your own message to try and find or discern the message of the scripture, that's what it looks like Philip was doing, beginning with this scripture. He took the message of that scripture, and then the next thing it says, he told him the good news about Jesus, which is really wonderful. I mean, he got from that text to Jesus, which I also think all good preaching should do. So Philip did both those things, and so that's wasn't the first sermon preached, but it was pretty early on, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, and that's really what I needed too. That I needed to go from everything I knew about religion, everything I knew about church, everything I knew about tradition. I needed those things to get me to Jesus. I needed to know about Jesus, and I didn't. I was an expert on my church traditions. I was an expert on how to be a follower. I didn't know anything about Jesus. So I needed to go to my Bible and not learn how to be a good follower, like not to be a good member of the Followers of Christ Church. I needed to go to my Bible and see who Jesus was. And that's what preaching did for me, is listening to preaching, and still today listening to preaching helps me better understand who Jesus is. And I just don't think we can overstate the importance of that. Like, it's, yeah, it's necessary. People need to know who Jesus is, and the Bible is where you're going to find that. And just like this Ethiopian eunuch, I needed someone to guide me in that area. So it's something I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, that's kind of the message from Romans chapter 10. It offers salvation to anyone. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, which is about as open an invitation as you can have to trust in Jesus. But he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he follows up with the question, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, the thing that precedes calling is faith in Jesus. So you got to figure out whether Jesus is someone you can trust or not. And then he says, and how are they to believe in him of whom they've not heard? Well, before you can call on him, you have to believe and figure out if he's trustworthy. But before you can figure out if he's trustworthy, you have to hear about him in the first place, which is what you said you didn't do.
Yeah.
And then the next thing it says, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? So now we're down to the bottom line here. Well, I guess it's not quite the bottom line. The next verse says, how are they going to preach unless they're sent?
Yeah.
And so the sending or the going is the first thing, but the preaching is pretty foundational too.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And then verse 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Like, you, I just love this. It's like a progression to me through this that I really feel like I experienced. I think I was living, believing for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I just think I thought I was doing that because I was born in the right place, because, you know, when we offered thanks for dinner, we prayed in Jesus' name, but
so you had but heard I this didn't. Verse before.
Had What's that?
Had you heard this verse before?
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot. This was used a lot. Yeah. This was used by the people who believed that we had to have preaching. We had to have another preacher called, you know, in the same way that Walter was called and all the preachers before were called. That was necessary, because how would we have faith without hearing preaching? And but then it just ended there. We'd just get upset and get desperate, and well, we need preaching, but God's not giving it to us. So back to the progression of this, I didn't know. I thought I was calling on the Lord, on the name of the Lord, but I didn't know him. I didn't know to trust in him. It was more of a, like people have said, I'm just going to do the best I can and hope that God has mercy in the end. I think that they believed that mercy would come because of Jesus, but I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about him. He wasn't someone that I trusted, because how can you unless you know him?
Well, mercy does come by Jesus.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, for those who trust in him.
And so the breakdown was probably really at the first step. You didn't hear preaching. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. It took preaching for me to understand who Jesus was. And like I said, I think I still better understand who Jesus is every time that I hear preaching. I think it's either a reminder or I learn something new about Jesus. But it's just really important that people hear the good news about Jesus. And I think the Bible supports that you hear that through the preaching of the word.
And so your hope is that people won't just dismiss out of hand preaching that's maybe not from their one right church. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think the problem was that we decided how that preaching would have to come before we would be willing to listen to it. Hmm. We were going to set the rules, where that's not at all what you see in Scripture. That's not what you see. The Ethiopian eunuch didn't ask for Philip's credentials or anything before he just asked the question, how can I understand what I'm reading unless someone helps me? And he just starts to ask Philip questions. We were more concerned with what are the credentials of the man before we listen to his preaching.
You're not talking about academic credentials or anything like that, I don't imagine.
No, the terms we would use, we wanted to know what is your calling and what was your confirmation. Those are the two things that people always want to know, which just put us into a no-win situation, basically. We if someone did come and say they were called by the Lord to come and preach to us, the confirmation required was to be confirmed by an existing called man of God, an existing preacher, and we had none left. So it was impossible for anyone to be called to preach and confirmed. It just got to a place where, like I've said a million times on here, every family had it different, or there were different views on every subject. Preaching was one where there were different views on it. A lot of people believed that time was just going to end before we ever got another preacher. And then others thought that it was essential that we had another preacher to bring people to faith, to preach the ways of the followers of Christ Church was what they were hoping for.
Well, I'll tell you, though, I mean, I appreciate your endorsement of preaching and your recommendation that listeners look for someone who will preach the gospel. But I have to say, when I first heard that there were some followers of Christ who had come to saving faith in Jesus, and I heard their testimony, said, I heard preaching on the internet.
Yeah.
I just almost panicked, like, oh, you're kidding me. Because there is a lot of bad preaching on the internet. Yes. And so you're still recommending that people listen to preaching. And I would say, yes. I don't know. I was pretty nervous when I heard that people were just like randomly finding preaching on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. And I agree. There's certainly a lot of bad preaching that you can find, but I do feel very blessed. And I feel like it was a grace from God that we found good preaching on the internet. Yeah. You know,
you guys did find good preaching.
We did. And
we're going to interview one of them next week.
Yeah, we are. We are. And I think, you know, that's part of the fear. And that's what you're told your whole life is about, all that bad preaching, except we were told it's all bad, except for who comes here, whoever God sends here. I think, you know, it came out that a bunch of us were listening to sermons, and we started having conversations with people. They started challenging us, and one of the things that was said, you know, we were asked a lot, do you believe this man was called to preach? Do you believe he has a calling to preach? And a friend of mine said, yes, I do. And the person he was talking to said, he can't be. If he was truly called to preach by God, he would have sent him here to the Oregon City Followers of Christ Church. Like that's how much we believed we were the one right church, is we believed that if God called one right preacher, he would call him to preach at Oregon City Followers of Christ Church. So I just want to encourage people to, I want to acknowledge that there's a fear to listen to something foreign, to listen to something from outside the walls. I confess I have the same fear, but I just want to encourage people to read Acts 8 and to read that, that the eunuch didn't have to be afraid, that the Ethiopian eunuch, he just had questions and he just wanted help to understand what he was reading. And I think I want to encourage people to do the same thing, to just look for help to understand what you're reading. And
well, he too found good preaching, though.
Yes, he did.
I guess my, you know, if I would say, what do you, you know, how would you decide if you should listen to the preaching or not? If it's like the first thing you listen to, I would even use a criteria right there that Philip had, beginning with this scripture. So I would look for sermons that started with the scripture that were kind of based in a particular text in the scripture, rather than just picking and choosing whatever the preacher wants to say. So beginning with the scripture, that'd be the first thing I'd say, look for that. The second thing is, told him the good news about Jesus. And so the second thing I would look for is, do they get to the good news of Jesus, or is it preaching that says, here are, you know, four things that you should do to control your anger, or here are five things you should do to help your marriage, or, you know, things that aren't really about Jesus, but are really about your self-improvement. And, you know, you can hear positive, you know, you can hear a motivational speaker if you like, but that's not preaching the gospel. And so I would say those two things would be, if they meet those two criteria, you could at least start there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I, you know, I'll talk more about this next week, but I would also encourage people to, whether you agree with people who have left followers or not, I would take some references from them. I mean, listen to some of the people that they've already listened to. And I would recommend that people get on Sermon Audio and look up William Hughes. And he's got over 600 sermons on there. And I know that his sermons are going to point you to Jesus. And I know they're going to tell you about, I know he's going to preach the gospel in every sermon that you hear on there. And I think it's the gospel that is the power of God for salvation. And
the good news of Jesus.
The good news of Jesus. Yeah.
Right. Good news about
and
Jesus.
So that's, I know that would be a great, great safe place to start. That's
well, and if you want to just try it on for size, we're going to do it next week. We're going to talk to it next week. So you can come back and listen, and you'll be in business.
Yes. Yep. Well, we would, we didn't have preaching at Followers, but we had the gospel in all of the hymns, and we even sang songs about telling the story of Jesus. And one of them was, I love to tell the story. And has one of my favorite lines in it, but the first verse says, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. The chorus says, I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. And I could read all of these, but I'm going to read the fourth one because it's got my favorite line in it, that I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, it will be the old, old story that I have loved so long. And I just love that part about those who know it best. I mean, people would think about people who do preach it every week, maybe. Maybe you know the story better than I do from preaching it every week, but I would imagine that you hunger and thirst to hear it just as much as I do.
Yeah, I think that's great. And hungering and thirsting is, I think, the thing that Jesus is the bread of life and the living water, and he will, he'll satisfy.
Yeah.
So go looking for him.
Go looking for him and get help to find him if you need it.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.